how did the early church grow so quickly, and what did it have to do with communism? Nothing. Pardon me. This is the New Testament in 90 days. We're looking at lesson number 5, which is Acts 2, 45 through 40, and it's entitled Church Growth and Communism. The setting of this passage is fascinating. The Holy Spirit has just been sent to the disciples and the church was born. Peter and the others attract a crowd and Peter preaches to them. His main point is that Jesus is the Messiah who the Jews had killed just 40 days before. Repent, Peter said to them, and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. You need to understand that there are three R's. We're not talking pirates here, but theology. Three R's. They are repent, receive, and reveal. Repent, receive, reveal. When you repent, you are changing your mind from rejecting Jesus to believing he is Lord, and at that moment, you are saved. Then you receive. The Holy Spirit enters and seals you at the time of salvation. So you receive the Holy Spirit. Then you reveal it to the world. Be publicly baptized to tell the world of your salvation. And with many other words, he testified and strongly urged them, saying, be saved from this corrupt generation. Could you imagine if our generation had killed the Son of God, how guilty we would feel? In a way we did, but not in the literal way that we took his body and nailed him to the cross. So imagine the guilt the people are feeling as they hear this message from Peter and the others. The people were terrified. They understood it was their generation that killed the Son of God. They knew without forgiveness, they would face God's holy wrath. So those who accepted his message were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 people were added to them. Now, as we're reading our Bible and we see that 3,000 people were saved, a lot of times we're like, oh, that's great. That's cool. Have you ever tried to take care of 3,000 people? Imagine the early church, how they dealt with this issue. Have you ever helped one person when they became a Christian? Have you ever helped two people when they were saved? How about three people? How do you meet the spiritual needs of four people? How about five, six, seven people? Imagine meeting the needs of 1,000 people. Imagine meeting the spiritual needs of 2,000 people. Imagine meeting the spiritual needs of 3,000 people. Yes, that is 3,000 dots on the screen. Each of those dots represent one person who was saved and all their needs, desires, and all that came after they were saved that the disciples needed to meet so they would grow in their faith. So, what did they do with this huge amount of people who became Christians? Look at verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. Notice what they devoted themselves to. So often in churches today, we want to give you a quick and easy answer how to grow a church, but it often goes into philosophy and ideas. This is how the early church, as they were growing, met the needs of the saints, and it encouraged more organic growth. Notice what the early church did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. At this time, they did not have the New Testament, so the apostles would share with them the words of the Lord. So basically, they were having Bible study. To fellowship, God-centered fellowship with each other. To the breaking of bread, this implies they had communion with each other daily. And to prayers, if you want to get to know someone, pray with them, because they will generally share their heart with you as you share your heart with them. And you both realize that you need God's help. So this was an important part of church growth and maturity in the early church, as it is now, prayer. Then fear came over everyone, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and hold all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all, as anyone had a need. Now it's interesting, a lot of atheists or a lot of people who are liberal in their Christian beliefs say, you know what? It looks like to us that the early church were communist. They were communist. That is a popular teaching that is going around even today. Was the early church communist? It sounds crazy to us, but some people think this. But let's look at this passage and see communism versus Christianity. In communism, individuals are forced by authorities to give. However, in Christianity, and especially in this passage, individuals willingly desired to give and meet needs. Notice being forced to willingly desire, a huge difference. In communism, goods are forcibly taken from rich and equally distributed to all. Notice in Christianity, goods were willingly donated and distributed to those who had needs. Look at communism. The government owns everything. All land and goods belong to them. Look at Christianity. The people owned their land and goods until they decided to give it away. Now, this one's important. Notice the motivation of communism versus Christianity. Communism. Their motivation, create a stateless, godless, classless society. The Christian's motivation is to delight in God, show His love, and build His kingdom. So we can see clearly at this point that the early church was not practicing communism, as some have said. I dug a little deeper into this, and here's some quotes from Karl Marx. We're not going to get into the whole history of Marx, socialism, communism, and explaining all that. But I want to show you the man who was fundamental in communism and what he says about God and what the Bible says in contrast to Marx. Marx said, quote, "The first requisite of the happiness of the people is the abolition of religion." But notice what is written in Psalm 68:3. "But the righteous are glad. They rejoice before God and celebrate with joy." Marx is saying if society is going to have success, it must remove religion and the idea of God. This is pure foolishness. Let's look at another quote. Marx says, "I wish to avenge myself against the one who rules above." Basically, he's saying he wants to avenge himself against God Almighty. What does the scripture say? It says, "Justice executed is a joy to the righteous, but a terror to those who practice iniquity." Proverbs 21:15. That verse makes it clear which camp Marx is in. Let's look at the next quote. "Communism begins where atheism begins." Basically, if you want to be a communist, you have to be an atheist. What does atheism teach? There is no God. Look what the Bible says. "The fool says in his heart, God does not exist." Psalm 14:11. This is one of Marx's most famous quotes about God and religion. He says, quotes, "Religion is the opium of the masses." But look what Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2. "Be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elemental forces of the world, and not based on Christ." So, as we look at communism and we compare it to the Bible, we can clearly see that communism is not what the early church practiced. Sounds simple to you and me, But in our school systems, in our colleges, many teach this erroneous idea. Let's continue in our passage. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple complex, and they broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with a joyful and humble attitude, praising God and having favor with all the people. And every day the Lord added to them those who were being saved. Notice what Warren Wiersbe says. They met daily. They cared daily, won souls daily, searched the scripture daily, and increased in numbers daily. The Christian faith was a day-to-day reality, not a once-a-week routine. That should challenge us. Do you see your Christianity as just something you do on the side, just something you do maybe on Sunday or Wednesday or whatever your schedule is? But to the early church, it was something they did every day. Not in the sense of doing a program every day, but they were active in their faith. And this brings us to our main point. A little longer one, but it's a good one. Main point. Biblical teaching, God-centered fellowship, communion, prayer, meeting needs are signs of a healthy local church. Let me read that once again. Biblical teaching, God-centered fellowship, communion, prayer, meeting needs are signs of a healthy local church. The church, early church, was healthy because they did these things. This is why they grew so much. We need to have biblical teaching so we can look when people come with false accusations about God's word and refute it. We need to have God-centered fellowship to build each other up and help each other out. We need to have communion to remember what the Lord has done for us. We need prayer to show our dependence upon God and ask Him to do the impossible. We need to meet needs. We need to be sacrificial in giving, because all of these things are a sign of a healthy church. So how can we take this knowledge and turn it into wisdom? The first point I want to make in application is be saved from this corrupt generation. Be saved from this corrupt generation. Follow the early church's example and turn to Jesus before it's too late. Look at that picture. So many people put all these things before God. Their house, their relationships, their vacations, their ideas, their pleasures. Many people put these things before God. We are living in a corrupt generation that has created idols that has replaced God. But now notice what happens when this generation passes away. Yeah, it's all gone. Everything. The houses, the pleasures, the money, the things done not for God or for His kingdom just vanish away into nothingness. Don't be swayed by this corrupt generation. Be like the early church and pursue things that matter. Be generous, be helpful, be engaged in the Word of God, in evangelism. Be engaged. Beware. Beware of divisive people who warp the word of God to fit their agenda. Some, like Marx, reject God's word altogether, but many try to include it by twisting its meaning to deceive Christians. Beware. Many teachings of Marx and other educated atheists will try to influence you via the education system. Be on guard. One of the main points of communism, one of the best ways they can influence you is the education system. They try to teach that everyone is equal. Everyone is the same. When you listen to that at first, it sounds great. When you really see the implications, it is trying to mold people to think the same way, act the same way, all be the same. And that is by rejecting God's order of creation, rejecting His morality, and taking the ideas of Marx and others and putting them in the place of God. We see this so often throughout our public schools and other places, so we must be aware. Our children must be aware of this which is creeping in the church. Are you generous or entitled? As a Christian, you should always be ready to give to meet needs. Sadly, some Christians are not good stewards and expect others to bail them out. The early church set a good example by being generous. You should do likewise. I don't care how old you are, you should always be ready to give. You should always be ready to assist those in need. The early church set such a good example. We need to follow it. What are you devoted to? The early church was devoted to the apostles' teaching, doctrine, to fellowship, and to prayer. What do you devote your time and effort to? Sports? Entertainments? Your own pleasures? Your own ideas? Your own pursuits? Are you not pursuing the kingdom of God, but your own kingdom? Have hobbies or pleasures replaced your devotion to God? The early church grew and matured because they put God's kingdom before their own. They were willing to sell their homes, lands, and property to help those in need. What are you willing to give up to help your local church? Find a solid church. Find a solid church which practices these things just like the early church. Does your church have biblical teaching and preaching? When you go to church, do they use their Bibles? Do they go over the Bible? When the pastor is preaching, does he explain the Bible? So many churches now are just filled with moral life lessons that don't reflect the Word of God. They reflect the ideas of the teacher or the preacher. Does your church preach the gospel? Does your church use its Bible the way it was intended to be used to strengthen, to challenge, and equip the saints? Your church should have God-centered fellowship. Is your fellowship at your church just about entertaining you? When you go to youth group, is it all just fun and games and very little about God? When you're with the adults, is it just to have a fun time? Or is it still about God? Is your church God-centered? Communion. Does your church practice communion? This is commanded. This is an ordinance. This in baptism. You need to have communion. Does your church encourage prayer? Are you often hearing, follow your dreams, follow your ideas? Or are you encouraged by your church to go to the Lord in prayer to see what you should do? To go to His Word, read it, and then pray, pray, pray. Does your church encourage prayer? Does your church meet the needs of the saints? Is your church more impressed in the pouring more and more money into bigger and grander programs that really don't push the gospel, don't present the gospel, and don't meet needs? Or is your church focused on missionary outreach, community outreach with the gospel? Does your church meet the needs of those families in the church which have struggles and genuine needs? Churches need to meet the needs of the saints. So we see that the early church was generous. Are you? Do you know your Bible well enough that when bad thoughts, bad ideas come from the world to say, hey, the early church was like this, that you know your Bible well enough to say, that's not true. Let me tell you what the Bible said. The early church was armed to do that. Are you?